have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Shout out D on the track, Paint Music Media. Shout out DJ Lee Productions, and I'm Al Ken. But if you a game changer, got my head go. My grind on high, win, lose, and draw. I'ma ride till I die. I go hard in that lane. My God is the aim. Put me in, coach, and watch me change the game. Cause I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer. I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer, I'm a game changer. I'm full court press, I pledge allegiance to the best. Ain't nothing left to give it that reverence that the Father gets. So every day I work the sweat, can get the flesh another rest. They say go hard or go home, I say just do whatever's best. It's evident I'm blessed and I work like it. Fight like a Viking, fight like a lichen. The difference is I like it, so I shine like I'm lightning. So I'm going head to head with certain depth. Who you liking? Yeah, so it's time for coach to put me in. I'm strapping on my shoulder pads, lacing up my cleats, and then I'm gone with the wind. Like I'm gone in 60 seconds, you can't hold me, you can't check me. Check the memo, check the message running through. Like I'm baddest, I'm trucking whoever's standing in my way. Ain't no way you gon' stop me, you better off to let me in. Cause I go hard, even though they say no way that I could win. Like I'm Brett Favre, I'ma ride this game, my head is in. Life, a different way to play the lane. Now my rushing yards just got rocketing. Now I'm so insane for the kingdom building. Now my shot, it cannot be contained. So I'm gon' pray for change for myself and then what I can. I don't need no euros or no pesos or no money grams. Shout out to Wado, cause I know that he gon' play this fam. The FCA sports camp, game changer, summer jam. I don't need $100,000 to tell him that they need the lamb in heaven. It's just who I am. Al Kim, this where I stand. Trap to turn around, get back in it. Never that's insane. It's having did your butt they pain. Like I'm Chad Johnson, the same year he changed his name. So I sacrifice my life for the cause, just to win. And if you a game changer, let me see my you represent. My grind don't high, win, lose, and draw. I'ma ride till I die. I go hard in that lane. My God is the aim. Put me in, coach, and watch me change the game. Cause I'm a game changer. I'm a game changer, 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 I'm a game changer. Now put me in, coach, 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 I'ma go hard,
I'ma go hard, I'ma go hard.
I'm a game changer.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Minister Cedric. I finally made it back. Happy New Year to everyone. I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas, those of us who celebrate Christmas. And I hope that everyone was able to enjoy your New Year's. I shouldn't say celebration, but I guess if you had a celebration. And I'm happy to be back. Man, we're starting the new year off right this year. I am 1 year closer to finishing up this degree that I've been chasing for the last few years. I am getting healthier. I am just learning to love all my sisters and brothers as sisters and brothers, loving my fellow man as I love myself and just respecting everybody. But tonight, you know, I wanted to start this whole new year off because this year, I think for me, this year is about more than just myself. This is one of those years where, and I'm praying that God continues to move in my life the way that he has. But this year, I want to start off the show with a theme. And it's a theme for the whole year. And it's called doing life better. Okay? Doing life better. Being better. And it's not just about amassing money, material things, surrounding yourself by around a bunch of people. No, it's about doing life the way God intended for us to do life. Man, if we think of ourselves as a community, instead of just, you know, strangers, I guess is the word, we tend to love each other more. There's so much hate in the world right now. There's so much demagoguery. I mean, just so much going on in this world. And I meet people and they're confused. And I was having a conversation with someone and they were telling me, you know, they were basically giving me their opinions. And I left that conversation and I was like, whoa, because after I left that conversation, I questioned my own self. And what I questioned myself on was, here it is, how do we start to make this place, this land, a better land? I don't know if y'all remember that song back in the, I believe it was the early 90s, Heavy D, he said, we got to make this land a better land. I know we can make. And so I started thinking about that, and that's where I came up with this whole theme about do life better. And so what I mean by that is we got to start with the individual person, and we have to make sure that we are on point. I was reading a scripture earlier today out of Proverbs. This is a very short scripture. It's 11 and 25. Actually, I'll read a couple of verses, and it says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Right? He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Right? And he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall unto him. And I want to stop right there. So I just read Proverbs 11:25-28. And the thing is, you know, this is a battle for our hearts and minds, but it's a battle for our soul. You know, some of us, some of us don't see it as that. But again, the desire for us today, and what I want to talk a little bit about today is how we can start to make this, how we can start to do life better. And I believe that we start with man. Why? Because man was made in the image of God, right? So before I get too deep in it, I want to bring in my brother Jason, see if he's on with us right now. I know he's out there. He'll be on with us in this section. Sister Kimmy, if you could mute him for me, please. But the reason I wanted to start with man, again, you know, because in the Bible it says that man is the head of a woman, as Christ is the head of the church. You know, we are to be the head of our household. And I like to tell men that you're not just the head of your household. But when you think of the head of your household, you have to think of it as the pastor of your house. And I use the example of a pastor because, you know, when you're in the church and you have problems, You want to go and talk to the pastor. You want to be in his ear. You want to get his opinion. You want him to share that wisdom with you. And you know that if all he can do is point you in the right direction, you know, you're okay in that. You know, a well-meaning pastor will definitely point you in the right direction if he doesn't know the answers and whatnot. And Jason, just let me know when you come in.
I'm here, my man.
Okay, great. Hey, I was making an introduction into what we're going to be talking about tonight. Our theme for the year, doing life better. That's what I want to talk about for this whole year. So every week we'll do something. We'll talk about just doing life better because, man, life is so good. But today I wanted to start with, you know, we're starting at the head of the household. So I wanted to talk about being better men. And the thing about, and the reason I chose men again, there's a reason behind it. But I believe that because I was having a conversation before with a gentleman, and it left me kind of feeling like, what are we doing? But I know that all of us, each of us as men, we have our own flaws. I mean, we all have these weaknesses. You know, some of us might hear of someone else's weakness and say, oh, that's nothing. And some of us might say, oh, that's great. That's just it. Look, our weakness is a weakness to that individual person. And so each weakness, no matter how small it is to somebody else, but to the individual suffering in that weakness, it's a great challenge, right? And so some of us are scarred in our lives. It could have been from our childhood. It could have been a relationship. It could have been anything, but we are deeply scarred. And if we leave these wounds unresolved, in other words, if we don't heal these wounds somehow, we're going to, or these wounds are going to lead us. They're going to lead us astray, and they're going to make it very difficult for us to live up to what God has for us to do. You know, God gives each of us a mission in life. I truly believe that. And there's potential that we have. And if we don't get over our wounds, we will never, ever, ever live up to the standard that God has set forth before us. So I also believe, Jason, that we have to walk as men, and again, I'm talking about us as men. We've got to walk boldly into this. We've got to walk with confidence. And we've got to walk in strength. Now, I know some of y'all talking about muscles. No. The strength I'm talking about comes from Christ. You hear what I'm saying? God calls us to live a certain type of life. And so what we got to do is we got to become better men so that we can live this life that God calls us to live. Now, again, when I say be better, I need y'all to understand this. I'm not talking about like in sports. I'm not talking about competing against your brother to be better at something or you. No, that's not what I'm talking about. We're not talking about competing against one another. But what I'm talking about, again, is living a life of responsibility. With all of its challenges, with all of life's setbacks, we've got to be responsible. We have to become better men. And being a better man is I know this is going to sound crazy because this is not all of our nature, but it's to approach life's troubles humbly. It's to accept the fact. Now, here's the key right here, because people say, well, I'm not really a humble person. I'm not really a quiet person. I'm not this. I'm not that. Listen, it's great for you to tell me who you're not, but what we have to do, here it is. Fellas, we've got to accept the full range of our emotions. Uh-oh. See, a lot of times we don't want nobody to know that we can be emotional. We don't want anyone to – we don't want to be seen as being soft, you know. Remember the movie Life, Jason, where Eddie Murphy told Martin Lawrence's character, yeah, I said soft, S-O-F.
Right.
So, you know, we don't want to look soft, and we don't want to do that. But we have to, because so many of us are so deeply wounded, we've got to address our emotions as well as our responsibilities. We have to address them. And so you asked that question. So I'm going to ask a question of you, Jason. I'm just asking a general question, and then we'll get into our topic, J-Dub. But the question that made me think about all this was, why is it so important for us to become better men? Why is it so important for me to feel, to be in touch with my innermost? Why is it so important? And so I think, and my hope is, my prayer is that by the end of our talk tonight, Jason, we've got an hour here, is that, you know, we could at least say why it's so important. I'm not trying to answer the question right now. But what I want to do is kind of set us on the road to becoming a better man, and then we can answer the question of why. Does that make sense to you? So,
yeah, I make sense.
So, cool. That's good. That's good. Because a lot of us, we don't even exhibit. We're not good examples of positivity or stability. We're not good examples of somebody who's self-aware. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm gonna tell y'all something. I'm just going to say it to everybody. Men who demonstrate these characteristics are generally looked at and they are admired. That's right. So personal development is very important. So I want to discuss with you a couple of ways a couple of ways of becoming a better man. Again, this is all about being better. This is all about, again, not competing against anybody, being a better man. The way God calls you to be a man, okay? You know, God calls us to do certain things. Each of us has a different gift. So let's exercise our gifts. So one of the, and Jason, you can help me out with this because you can help me explain to everybody. But one of the ways I think that will help us become better men is to acknowledge our real emotions, is to understand our real emotions. Have you, and I'm talking about our feelings here. You know, one of the things I think that made us such good friends, Jason, is that we're able to share our feelings with one another without any shame. How can you see that helping you or helping another brother? I mean, if I come to you and I say, man, you know, I need to talk to you, and you, how can you help me to develop that part of my life?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, feelings are, I always tell us, like, feelings are kind of the greatest gift God's given us, but also some of the worst curse, right? It allows us to experience a world in a way that we normally wouldn't. So the challenge is, how do I take this gift from God and not let it dominate me, not let it control me, not let it take me off, take my eyes off of God himself, the giver of this gift. And, you know, managing emotions is a difficult thing. Like, I mean, I know in this Western culture, it is one of the hardest things. I know adults, you know, in their 40s and 50s that still ain't got it right. And then you've got kids, and then you've got teenagers. Like, this whole emotion thing is a hard thing, but they're a precious gift from God. And as men, if we don't really honor that gift, then we're really doing a disservice to God. You know, we think we're doing well when we suppress our feelings, when we hide our feelings, when we don't let our feelings be seen. But what we're doing
is we're
taking. You know, and I think, you know, like I was saying, when we do that, we dishonor God. Now the challenge is that's what we're taught, right? As men, as little kids, don't cry, suck it up. You'll be all
right.
Right,
but,
you know?
But what happens to us when we do that? Well, they say, don't cry, suck it up. What happens? What starts to happen to that little boy?
Well, I mean, so first you learn that as a man, showing feelings is not conducive. And then that's on the bad side. You get your masculinity challenged when you show real feelings and emotion. And then we learn to suppress it. And reality, if you really think about it, men do not hide their emotions. They only let them come out in anger, right?
Okay.
But for a man, it's okay to show anger, right? You know, because people feel like when you're angry, you're stronger, you're powerful, you feel a lot. You don't feel vulnerable when you're angry. You almost feel empowered. So as a man who's supposed to be this leader, this provider, this head, that feeling feels natural to who we are. But that feeling of sadness, that feeling of fear, that feeling of embarrassment, those are not empowering feelings. Those feelings will make you feel vulnerable and make you feel weak. And because we keep this thing inside, it starts to erode us, slowly and surely. And in reality, it builds such a big wall between us and the people God's blessed in our lives. You know, we can't really connect with our wives because we're just not that emotional. We can't connect with our kids, right? We can't connect to another brother.
Yeah.
And what that does is just create isolation in men across the board. And then, of course, in that isolation is where you start seeing, you know, men making really bad decisions, bad choices, and into things that, you know, they probably may not have gotten into if they were surrounded by other men and not in an isolated place.
Yeah. You know, you said something that caught my attention there just for a second. So me bottling up all my emotions, whether it be the negative emotions, me bottling them up inside and not expressing them, actually, I'm worse off because these are bottled up inside of me. You know, and it's funny, we're kind of talking about this because I remember being a younger man and I had all these emotions bottled up inside and I was angry for no reason. I was angry for absolutely no reason. I wound up feeling much worse. I really wound up feeling worse. And I can tell you, Jason, you're 100% right. It does something to our mental health. It also affects all of our relationships. I mean, have you seen it or have you had an experience with someone who they were angry, they never talked about it, nobody could ever get it out of them, but they seemed like they were just mad at the world or they just took it out on certain people. You know,
oh, yeah, you see it happen all the time, right? A man blows up at his wife, his child, somebody because why? Because, you know, they're overcome with their feelings and emotions, these feelings and emotions that they never dealt with. Right, and it just becomes just toxic for, you know, the environment that they're in.
Yeah, because I definitely say this to people, say this to young men, and I always tell them because I'm one of those young men who's just now in the last 15, 20 years learning how to really grasp hold of my own emotions, you know, and I'm actually being real with myself about my emotions. And so one of the things I learned was this right here, Jason. And one of the things I learned personally, and I'll give it to anybody, is that I had to learn how, when I did get angry, when I felt really upset, even when I was just worried about stuff, you know, what I had to learn to do. And again, this is many years of going to a therapist. I just let everybody know I believe therapy is good for all of us. I know in our communities it's taboo, but I assure you it can help you. But what I learned to do was to slow down, allow myself to experience this emotion or this feeling that was coming over me, and it was taking me, right? But also, as I started to learn to allow myself to feel these emotions and allow my body to go through this, I like to call it a transformation, I was able to figure out a way for a safe release. And what I mean by that, Jason, and you can tell if I'm wrong or if you've ever experienced it, but instead of blowing up and swearing and saying negative stuff and my actions, you may never, ever swear. You may never, ever curse, but you may slam the door. You may start to ignore people that you shouldn't ignore, your loved ones, your friends. If somebody smiled at you, you probably turned your face up at them. But for me, what I learned, and it took years of practice, but what I learned was to be more constructive with my release. In other words, one, if I had a buddy, Sometimes I call, to this day, sometimes I call you, Jason. You don't really answer your phone that much. But still, I call. I just had to put you on, under the bus with that one. but I'll call a friend, and I'll talk to that friend. Sometimes I'm so angry that I can't tell them how I feel, but I ask questions. I be like, Jason, man, feeling this kind of way. You know? And I know, and I'm saying this for us as men, we have to learn how to control these emotions and just take charge of them. You don't have to control them, just take charge of them. And I'll ask you, and you'll give me an answer. And I want, because another problem I think we have as men in dealing with our emotions, and Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, is if I come to you, I'm open. This is real, raw emotion that I'm showing you, and I'm trying to talk to you about it. What's the worst thing you can do? Worst things you can do to me?
Yeah, just
or any man for that matter.
Yeah, just you know, just you know, take suck it up. Yeah.
Some of the most horrible things, but here's one of the worst things for me, Jason. On my side of the fence, one of the worst things you could do for me, here it is to not hold me accountable. It's to sugarcoat your answer to me. You know, sometimes I often say this, and I truly mean this, especially to the men. I truly mean this. I've often said, if I had had a man to come to me real, the way I needed him to, any man in my church, that I probably would have never, ever been divorced. But what I got was, well, you got to think about it. You got to think about your actions. I thought about them. I can't figure it out. I'm coming to you because I need help. You don't have to tell me what to do, but give me your honest opinion. You know what? Jason, you and I have had tough conversations like this.
Right.
And my thing is, some guys can take it just straight up. Me, no chaser. I don't need no chaser. Just tell me straight up. I know you care about me. I know you love me. You're my brother. But we have to be real with our emotions on both sides and allow ourselves to experience it. If I tell you something, Jason, and it shocks you, it's okay for you to tell me, hey, man, that's tough there. Let's talk about that. Because those are the times we really need to communicate. And this is what teaches us as young men, this is what teaches us how to take charge of these emotions and let them out in a constructive manner. We don't need to go to the boxing gym right away. No, we don't. We don't need to go ride our bikes right away. I mean, some people, they're mature enough where they can handle it, but not all of us do. When you go to somebody for help, you need to just talk. And I think we have to be transparent. We have to develop that level of transparency. And in order to do this, we have to learn to be ourselves.
But I think that transparency you speak of is so hard, right? That accountability you speak of is so hard because as a man, you know, we're almost taught that, you know, in our heads we have to be perfect, right? We can't make mistakes. We can't falter. And it's basically a misguided view.
So yeah.
What I find, especially with men, especially our young men, that accountability word is taken as not as a way for me to get better, but you're attacking who I am. And it's difficult, but if you really dig into that, why is the words I say about some of the things you do attack on who you are? Well, because you don't have an identity. You don't know who you are. You don't have an identity. So that accountability piece, I think this all go hand in hand. I can't be held accountable because my emotion and feelings won't allow me to hear these words without them jumping up and causing something inside of me. So that now I can't even hear the words, and you know I want to get mad and upset and other things about it, you know. So I think accountability is great, and when you can find somebody that you trust, that you can be vulnerable with, then that accountability becomes easier. You know, I mean, I look at my life and I look at my own son. You know, my ability to hold him accountable is very limited because I don't think we have that relationship where he's like, you know what, I can make myself vulnerable to my dad. And that's the crazy thing. I mean, and the funny thing if we all take a step back, we probably had that same relationship with what male role model in our life, right? And you realize that, you know, sometimes when we resist that accountability, when we resist that discipline, it's not because we don't think it's right. It's not because we don't think it's something we shouldn't be doing. It's mainly because my feelings won't allow me to hear it and accept it.
Right, but I understand that. But think about it this way. Again, this is a learning process. We had to practice that. You know, with our sons, we have to practice that. We have to model the behavior, but we also have to help them practice getting better. They, you know, we have to give them the tools. And again, the very first step, in my opinion, we have to talk to our young men, and we have to work with them on slowing down, allowing yourself to feel this emotion. You brought up this thing about being perfect. You know what? Once you slow down and think about a thing, you start to realize nobody's perfect. And you know what? You just made me think of something. I took this test online. It was a personality test. And my personality test came back. It came back. I was a type 1 perfectionist, right? What?
Right.
I never thought of myself as being a perfectionist. But you know why I said I was a perfectionist? Not because I feel like I have to do everything perfectly, because, you know, again, you know me. I give myself permission to fail. My therapist worked with me on that for years. I give myself permission to fail. I don't have to be 100% every time, right, or any time. So I give myself that permission. But it outlined perfectionist as somebody to the rules, somebody who has a set of guidelines, and they stick to those rules. And when I read that part, I just started laughing, because one of the big things with me, we got rules. Remember I told you I don't play games with cheaters? If you're going to cheat, I ain't going to play with you, because you go against the rules. I didn't realize how deeply embedded in me that is until it probably was a 15-minute test they have online that you can take, and you get your results. So I bring that part up to say this, is I do understand what you're saying, but look, it takes courage for us to be vulnerable. I don't care what level of manhood you're at, boyhood, adolescent, it takes courage to be vulnerable. And we have to accept that. We have to accept all of our vulnerabilities. But my big deal is, the reason why I say we have to show real emotion is because, look, we're never going to overcome it if we are not real with ourselves. And again, we are constantly evolving. And so you may feel embarrassed. Our sons, the young men, they may feel embarrassed at first. But then the next thing we have to do with them, because we're talking about being better men, is to show them and teach them how to be themselves and to love who they are. Like, I don't know about you, but I was always called awkward, and I was called a bunch of names by my own brothers growing up. I was kind of isolated. You know, they kind of shunned me a little bit growing up because I was a little different than they were. Have you ever felt that?
Oh yeah, most definitely. And I think that's one of the challenging sides, right? Is that you know, as we're coming up as men, trying to figure out who we are as men, and one of the things we see a lot of is that I read a book and it talked about the masculine identity and how that has to be bestowed upon you by another man. So when you had these young men in these fatherless homes, who's telling them how to be a man? I'll tell you, when I grew up, I didn't know what being a man was about. No, you know, I had uncles and things around me, but no one really said, Jason, this is what it means to be a man. And it was only when I was got into the church and I met some good men of God who then wanted to really just kind of pour into me, was I able to kind of learn what biblical manhood looked like, right? What it really means. And so it was a great thing. But I'll tell you, you know, as men, we struggle with that. We struggle with, you know, the emotions, the accountability, because I truly believe most men don't know who they are and they lack their identity. And I see some of the most atrocious acts that men create is a failed attempt within the gas some type of identity that they don't have.
Okay, I'm with that. But don't you think in order to really help someone grow in that area, we have to first, when I say be yourself and love yourself, I'm talking about having those feelings of awkwardness, those really uncomfortable inner sensations that we feel, or reactions to what's going on around us. You see, I am, and you and I talked about this, I can be a very stern person, right? You had a word for me last week, but I can be a very stern person, kind of unforgiving in my way in certain aspects, right? My expectations of people can be very lofty, can be very high, right? But look at this. In order for me to get better at that, what I have to do is I have to do a better job of being uncomfortable in my situations. In other words, I can be uncomfortable in that situation. I can feel everything that's going with it, but I need to know what's behind my reaction. Why is it that I don't have a lot of patience with people who just can't get things right? I have to look beyond the fault and try to figure out what's causing me. I guess that's the way I'm trying to say. What's behind that fault, that feeling of vulnerability, that thing that irks me? What's behind that feeling? What's causing it? And I think once you start to tear it down, again, years of therapy with me for everybody, years of therapy, I had to figure out what was behind all of that. Why was I so angry? Why, Cedric, are you so angry? And that was a question I had to ask myself. And I'm going to tell you something, Jason. When I figured out why I was so angry, and I'm not going to say I figured it out, but as I eliminated a number of things that made me angry in my life, what happened? I learned to love myself for who I was. And then I learned to just be myself. Instead of downplaying who I was, being this fake person all the time, because people don't realize it. Man, it's stressful being fake. It's stressful trying to be somebody that you're not. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. It's too much energy, right? You know,
yes.
When you try to be something that you're not created to be or not designed to be, it you have to expend so much energy to do so, right? But the challenge is, to your point, is being uncomfortable, right? Being comfortable with who you are, especially when it doesn't fit in with what most people tell you you should be or your own ideal of what it should be, right?
Right.
So,
uh-huh.
Yeah, so it becomes difficult. And to your point, it's the level of training and experience that needs to happen.
Absolutely. And see, that's the whole thing. Because once you start to be yourself and you realize you're quirky. I realize I'm quirky. I mean, one of my biggest quirks that I'm told, Jason, one of my biggest quirks is I like to be alone. I get lonely, but I like to be alone. I prefer to be by myself than be in a room full of people, or most of the time a room full of one or two people. I prefer to be by myself. I don't know why I feel so comfortable by myself, but I had to get comfortable with that so that I could learn to truly love me for who I was. And what I mean by that is I stopped allowing people to tell me or lead me or mislead me into thinking that I needed to be around a group of guys, like-minded guys all the time and do the things that they were doing. I needed to be in a club. I needed to, you know, I just needed to be one of the guys. I got tired of that because it wasn't me. And so what I learned was, what I learned was, here it is, this is the big one for me. I learned to throw away what the world thought. The world, what the world. You know what I'm saying? I learned to put that to the side. No, because if I'm following Christ, if I'm following Christ's guideline, if I'm following his lead, probably not even close to the man that the world says I should be. Because
right.
here's one thing for me growing up that I had to learn. I used to meet girls, and they would say, well, I want a man who could protect me. I need a big, strong guy. Guess what? I'm 5'3". I'm never going to be that big guy. I'm never going to be 6 feet tall unless I stand on a chair.
Right.
So I had to become comfortable with not being that big guy that she wanted, right? I had to be comfortable. And then, you know how it is. When you're young, people have a way of trying to shame you. Like, I was this short guy, and all the fellas let me know I was short. A lot of little girls let me know I was short. I felt insecure in the skin I was in. But guess what? I couldn't change it. I mean, I could work out, gain some muscle. I could take care of my skin, make sure I didn't have acne. I could keep my hair cut. I could wear nice clothes. But guess what I wasn't going to ever be, Jason?
You weren't going to be any inch taller.
You know what I'm saying? I could buy some platform shoes or those shoes that make you almost 3 inches taller. Yeah, I'm going to look crazy. I'm going to feel crazy. But I learned to love myself. And I think that to what you were saying, Jason, I think that right there is a powerful, powerful tool. And I think that if we can get our young men to see that, because I will tell you this, when I learned to walk in confidence with who I was, I actually became more attractive to the entire world.
Right.
Listen, the entire world. And when the world started showing me love, and when I say the world, I'm talking everybody, Christians, non-Christians alike, people just started to shake my hand. When men would shake my hand, they would make it a firm shake. When people would greet me, I could speak to them. Like, I didn't speak with a lot of slang. I still don't. It was just everything about me says, okay, here's a young soldier. And that's what people saw. And I was super comfortable with that. That made me feel really good about myself. And I learned to love myself more with all my idiosyncrasies, right?
Yeah.
All my failures, because I failed a lot, right? And then one of the other things, after all of that happened, Jason, to me, one of the other things, and I just alluded to it, was I learned to communicate my feelings. I learned to communicate with words. I learned to communicate in actions with other people. Important is that. Because for me,
I think that's really important, like that communication and connection, right? And not just only connecting with people, but truly connecting with people. Because when you know yourself, you can connect on ways that you typically won't be able to, right? And I always encourage people just, you know, I tell people, like, what's the most important thing to have? Like, I give an example. I'm like, okay. You go to the grocery store, you buy a piece of candy that costs 67 cents. You give somebody a dollar, and they give you the change.
Uh-huh.
Somebody walks up to you and says, I bet you $1 million you got 50 cents in your pocket. Would you take that bet? Everybody said, yeah, I'll take that bet. I'm like, why? It's $1 million. You ain't got $1 million. You're like, I don't care. I know what's in my pocket. And that example tells you the importance of knowledge. You get confidence from knowledge, right? And the way when you know yourself, you gain a level of confidence about yourself that even if you can't do everything, the fact that that knowledge gives you confidence. And, you know, like for me, I know what I'm good at. I know what I'm not. Right. So I know that, hey, I can't walk in this situation because this situation is not going to be it doesn't fit me. Right. And, you know, people think confidence comes from being great at everything. And I'm like, no, it just comes from knowledge of who you are. Right, and
man,
once you can understand who you are and be confident in that, then you mm-hmm. walk in confidence every day because you know I know who I am, I know who I'm not, and I'm gonna be okay.
And so walking in confidence, what does that communicate to other people?
I mean, it communicates so much, right? It communicates
uh-huh.
so much, right? Because people look at you and they're like, what's going on with you? I don't know if I understand what's happening. Right? And they it attracts people to your point. You said it earlier and it's so true. that people are attracted to confidence, you know, and they come to you, and to your point, they shake your hand a little bit stronger. They stand up straight when you walk in the room, right? They treat you so much differently.
Yeah. And it's funny because all of that is a form of communication. And,
right.
And in that, as you and I are talking and we're reaching out to the masses, we have to be more effective communicators. Because I tell you what, it's so important, because one of the problems that the young men have today, and you know, you and I, we talk about our sons a lot, but one of the issues that I personally feel is a problem is they're not able to express themselves clearly. You know, they're not able to listen and understand what they're being told, or in other words, the communication doesn't go back and forth. Somewhere in there, it gets blocked. And what we have to learn to do, because another way, we're talking about becoming better men here again today, is we have to become better listeners and better communicators with our words, with our body language, and with our deeds. Jason, I've often said to you that one of the best communicators I know, one of the best listeners I've ever met is you. Like, sometimes when you and I talk, you're listening, and you're not saying a word. And I'll say something, and then I'll stop. I'll be like, okay, I'll ask you a question. I got to work. Sometimes I got to wait 10, 15 seconds for you to even speak. But when you do speak, you can regurgitate everything that I said, and you can actually speak to everything that I said. And I think that is a very, very valuable tool when it comes to communication. We have to be better listeners.
Right.
We have to be very, and it's important that we can communicate on more than one level, because Jason, you and I communicate one way, right? You communicate with
right.
your wife probably in a totally different way than you communicate with me, right?
Yep.
You communicate with your son a little bit differently than you do your wife or you do me. And correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just talking about knowing how to communicate and understanding how to communicate, because it's really important. Because a lot of us, we feel like our body language, like we treat each other like they're stupid. Like, well, he can't see my body language. He don't know what I'm thinking. You're 100% right. Nobody knows what you're thinking. And so another step in becoming a better man is to learn how to communicate. But even once we do that, as we're talking and we're learning to communicate with one another, because one of the things, what's so important about body language, Jason? What's important about your posture and your body language?
I mean,
what does
to
it
your
do
point,
for you?
it's a form of communication, right? It's mm-hmm. definitely, you know, you say things in how you stand, how you carry yourself, right? So it's important that, you know, in that communication, and they say a large part of communication isn't the verbal. It's not the words you say. It's those nonverbal. It's the body language. It's the tone. It's things that it has any, like, not to do with the words themselves. So it's important, right? And if we all, you know, people who question it, go have a conversation with somebody who's got their arms crossed and they're rolling their eyes and ask me if you feel like that's an engaging conversation. Right? And most people are like, no, not really. That's body language. And that's the importance of body language.
Yeah, kind of hard to carry on that conversation. And communication is the key. You know, I have a brother, he says, communication rules the nation. Communication rules the nation. Yeah, you're right. I have to go with it. But I tell you, in our communication, one of the things that I remember being told is that when I was trying to learn a new way to communicate, I was told, kind of, you know, act like a child. It's all brand new. And when you're a child, your curiosity is aroused. You become more and more excited about learning something new.
Right.
Embrace this thing. You always hear me. That's one of my catchphrases. Embrace it. Embrace it with the outlook of a child. Just remember way back when you were excited to learn as a kid. Because as men, you know, this stuff is not boring. It's hard to talk about. It's hard to experience sometimes, but it's not boring. And I think, and J. Dub, we got about another 10 minutes, but I want to throw out that as we start practicing these things and start learning these things, especially with when you talk about communication, we've got to be accountable. We've got to be accountable for everything that we do. And Jason, if you're my accountability partner, you're responsible to make sure that I'm on point. Now, again, it's not about you bossing me around and nagging me. That's not it. You are one of my most trusted friends on this planet. You're even closer than a friend. You're more of a brother, so I always call you brother. But you are my trusted brother, and I need to know that you are going to help me hold myself accountable and also at the same time take responsibility for my actions. Because, you know, have you ever, anybody, as a man, if you're not willing to be held accountable for your own actions and take responsibility for what you've done, then what good is it? If all you do is blame other people, what good are you? What good is trying to be a better man if you won't take the, I like to call it a simple step, but we'll call it a first step. If you won't take that step, because it does matter. You know, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to fail at things, but it matters how do I say it? It matters how we address them.
Right.
You know, because I knew a young man once, rather than do what his boss said at work, he would rather get fired. And so This guy went through probably 6 jobs in a year and a half. And then finally he couldn't get a job. And guess what? He still wasn't taking responsibility for his actions. You know, being accountable for our actions, and I'm talking about the words we speak, our behavior, and that's a really big part of being a man. It's a big part.
It is.
Yeah. It's tough. And I don't know many men who are successful in life who can't do it. You know what I'm saying? You know, one of the steps in being successful is that, to be accountable. And Jason, you alluded to something earlier, and we've been hit and miss on it. We've been talking about it, is as we're on this journey to become better men, we need to surround ourselves with like-minded or people who will support that vision. Don't you agree?
Yeah,
and
people who share that vision and can help you achieve it.
So, like, and I want to share this for anybody, you know, again, for people listening. We've both been a part of men's ministries. I'm still a part of one. You're still a part of one. What's the one thing that men's ministry provides you with that I guess you wouldn't otherwise get?
I think for me, we talked about it. It's part of that accountability. You know, a bunch of men that really, you know, want to look at you and be like, is that really the best thing to do? But at the same time, be there to kind of hear your, that you can emote with, that you can share those, those deep feelings with. So it definitely is. For me, the men's ministry has always been kind of that group of people that I didn't have growing up, right? You know, and to help me kind of figure things out and get things to understand what things are.
Yeah, you know, you're 100% right. Remember when we were talking, we were talking the other day, and I was talking about being done and giving up on somebody, and you told me, nah, that's not the way to go. You can't give up on them.
Right.
Part, part of the whole thing about being around people who are supportive of your vision and people who support you and are like-minded is never giving up. That's when we met. You probably could have seen me and said, man, this dude right here, he don't talk much, and he looks like he's always angry, and you could have walked away. But if you do that, then you never give me a chance to grow up. You never give me a chance to grow through what I'm going through. I like to say grow through my pain. You never give me a chance to grow through this pain. But by being the brother that you were, even the times when I was negative, you never let me go. You never just left me hanging. You said, okay. And gradually, I started to get over those negative emotions. I started to stop being a negative Nancy. I became more of a positive person, right? My health got better. Everything about me got better. My conversation got better. And another thing that you and I do is, check this out, we dedicate time to trying to grow a support circle. When you're in a men's ministry, am I right or wrong? You have time set aside to where y'all meet. And that time is not just only fellowship, because a number of things happen during the fellowship, right? And one of the things that happens during fellowship is you develop a circle, a network of individuals who, check this, can help inspire you to be a better man. It may not happen the first time you go to a meeting. It may not happen the 10th time you go to a meeting. But the 100th time you show up, you feel like, I am a part of this thing, and you are. But see, that's how becoming better and becoming a better man, that's how it grows. It's those little subtle, that subtle incremental growth. You don't even notice it until somebody says, wow, man, where's this guy been? Hey, you know, you're a whole new guy. So I want to welcome y'all to 2024. And this is our first show. I want you to stay with us. January the 5th, 2024. I never thought I would see this. But as we continue to talk this year about doing life better, you know, tonight we want to just dedicate to being better men, because I believe that it starts right here. I believe that it starts with us as men, and we can help this thing matriculate to our younger men who become better men, even better men than we ever dreamed of becoming. And they will be, even at a younger age, they will be better men. So, Jason, we're going to get ready. We're going to go ahead and close out the show here in just a sec. You want to leave us with any last words, man?
Other than, man, just keep it moving. Right. Let's keep moving. Let's keep going. Let's keep, you know, keep doing what we're doing. And it's so important as men that we do talk and we do share and we do hold ourselves accountable. We do go to a deeper emotional level. So, yeah, that's super important.
Man, tell me about it. I definitely want to be a better person. I think with everything that we're experiencing in the world right now, you know, but again, God has been so good to me, and I want everybody to feel the love. Everybody, God has been so good, you know. So let's just quick recap on what we were talking about, J-Dub. You know, let's learn how to show our emotions. Let's learn how to address the real emotions that are inside of us. Let's learn to be ourselves, because when you are yourself, you can learn to love the self you are. And there's going to be some growth in it, so let us not think that we are this particular way forever. If you're broken today, that's okay. Tomorrow you can be fixed. Let's become better communicators. Come on, people. I love you. You know, it's not hard to say I love you. Even if you're angry, tell somebody you love them, okay? If you got to go talk to your dog or your wall in your house, tell them you love them. And then accountability is important. Take responsibility for your actions. And then the next, surround yourself with people who support your dream. Surround yourself with like-minded people. Always, always, always be growing. Never stop growing, because God loves you and so do we. You know how it goes. So with that being said, I want to say it's good to be back. And again, Happy New Year. You know, we say about this time, we say, find something you love, embrace it, chase it, and that is your relentless pursuit. This is Cedric and Jason. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you again next week. Have a good night, everybody. Enjoy your weekend.